Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. And we have a great program for our listening audience today. I would like to welcome Maureen Wendling. Maureen is the Executive Director of the Shanti Project in the Lehigh Valley. Today we're going to discuss mindfulness. And later in the program, you will actually have an opportunity to practice mindfulness with Maureen. Welcome, Maureen. You are doing some very interesting work as the Executive Director of the Ashanti Project. Tell us about the Ashanti Project.
We are a Lehigh Valley-based educational nonprofit, and we're committed to teaching social-emotional resiliency through the practice of mindfulness. We began 11 years ago when our founder, Denise Bears, who is a medical researcher, scientist, was asked to teach a yoga class at the Northampton County Juvenile Justice Center.
Uh-huh.
And when she started teaching these classes, she noticed that the kids were polite, they were engaged, and really intelligent. And it began Denise wondering, you know, what were the circumstances that led these kids to be incarcerated? So Denise began doing research as a scientist. She thrives on this. Mm-hmm. And what she came about was learning about trauma-informed practices, which is a way of, instead of looking at a child and saying, what is wrong with you? It's you look at a child and say, and think, what happened to you? And approaching and working with children that way.
She discovered that children were given a script at an early age, perhaps?
Yes. And instead of we keep trying to change that, you work with it and you understand them better, you know, where they're coming from. You look at what's called their ACE score. And this is a score that psychologists use that predicts behaviors in children that they will carry on into adults.
How old are these children that we're talking about right now? And they're incarcerated, correct?
Yes. So they are, most of them are like between 13 and 17 years old.
And they have been incarcerated and will be released at some point?
At some point, yes.
So they're, I guess, probably a little fidgety.
Yeah. And they're products usually of homes where there was food insecurity, there was some kind of addiction, some kind of abuse. And so what Denise began was learning more about these kids' history and then approaching a treatment that would help them almost with healing and coping. And that intervention that she began to use was mindfulness. And she continued with yoga on them as well.
Where did she learn about mindfulness?
Denise has tied into her yoga practice, but she has been studying mind-body connection for some time. So I wouldn't pinpoint it to one source.
So mindfulness is really listening to your body in a sense, isn't it? And then learning how to do something with those feelings?
Right. So it's paying attention to when you feel stress arising in your body or when you just have aches and pains in your body as adults. It's also learning to stay in the present moment and be able to help notice when you're ready to react rather than respond.
Can you give us an example for our listeners who are adults? When might you have one of these types of anxiety situations that could be helped?
I think the most relatable one is the example of sitting in traffic, right?
Right.
That idea of you can feel your hands tightening, your fingers tightening around the steering wheel, your chest beginning to tighten, and your wheels just starting to grind in your brain about sitting in traffic and judging the driving patterns of others.
And then the light changes and somebody beeps behind you.
Yes. Yes. And then you just feel your blood pressure rising. So when we begin to be able to notice when this is happening, we can choose to respond to it rather than react to it.
So the Ashanti Project uses mindfulness, but it is not a new practice.
No, it's been around thousands of years.
This is from Eastern cultures, correct?
Yes, it is.
And how did it become more useful in our world? Who discovered it? Where did this start becoming prevalent in the United States?
That's a really good point to bring up, because a lot of people think this is a new fad or it's a trend. And like you said, Greg, it's been around thousands of years. In the late 70s, Jon Kabat-Zinn, who was a PhD at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center, had been practicing mindfulness in his own life and had seen how it had benefited him. And through his work in the hospital, he saw so much suffering, that modern medicine couldn't alleviate in cancer patients, AIDS patients, people with chronic pain. He decided that he wanted to be able to help people with this practice, and he took what he had learned and created a curriculum, an evidence-based curriculum, and made it secular and made it relatable. So you didn't have to get the benefits of mindfulness by sitting on a cushion and meditating. He brought it into everyday relatable life. And now he created what's called mindfulness-based stress reduction. Mindfulness-based stress reduction is now practiced at least over 700 hospitals and universities.
Do we practice mindfulness here at our local health providers?
Yes, we do. Lehigh Valley Health Network has had the Center for Mindfulness for over 20 years. I call it one of the best kept secrets in the Lehigh Valley. And it's been led by Dr. Susan Wiley, who was a lead psychiatrist with the hospital for over 30 years. And St. Luke's has also been implementing it into their hospital, and they actually sponsor a school for us. So we go into Marvine Elementary, and we teach the teachers and the students at Marvine Elementary mindfulness.
The students that you've been working with, can you give us some success stories when they started practicing mindfulness?
One of our favorite examples is the little boy who, used to kick and punch on the playground and now goes out on the playground and notices when he has these impulses and urges. And we've just seen an increase in compassion and self-regulation in him. We teach kids how their brain works when they're overtaxed or when they're stressed. And it's hard to think about kids as being stressed, but they are. They're stressed, especially now with COVID and the constant change and the constant uncertainty. And, of course, we know that they do absorb everything that the adults are feeling. When Denise Vares, our founder, said to me, you're going to go into a classroom and teach second graders how their brain works. And I said, and she said, they're going to be able to name the parts of their brain. And I said, Denise, I can barely remember it. How are these second graders going to do it? And sure enough, I had a young little girl come to me one day and said, Miss Maureen, I couldn't find my homework this morning and I was so upset. But then I remembered to take some deep breaths, and then my amygdala would calm down, and I was able to get to my hippocampus and remember where it was, where my homework mm-hmm. was. So it's just amazing what their little minds, what they do take in.
Is it easier to train a student, a younger person, mindfulness than it is an adult?
Yes. Yes, I think with adults, we come with years of layers of our experiences that we really need to unfold and work with. I would never say to someone that this takes place of therapy or antidepressants or any other kind of types of therapy. This is just another tool to have in your toolbox.
So it's a tool that, if I understand it correctly, rewires your response to an anxiety or a depressive moment.
Yes, it is. It is. And so it also helps you focus, right? Because one of my favorite examples is when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think of, Greg? You hear your alarm go off. For me, I start making mental lists. What am I going to get done today? That, you know, so it's that habitual thinking, and we're doing it all the time. And social media, 24-hour news, has made it even harder for us to concentrate and focus. And mindfulness helps us with that.
Mindfulness is a form of meditation, correct?
It's a form of meditation, but there's also easy mindfulness tools to take throughout your day, to do throughout your day. And that's what we teach the children. We don't teach the children to meditate. We teach them mindfulness tools, which include listening, breathing, kindness, taking perspective, and gratitude.
And it's not something that you just turn on and turn off. It is a practice, in a sense, that you can, the more you do it, the better you get. It's like playing an instrument.
Right, exactly. You need to flex that muscle and the brain can rebuild the neuroplasticity. The brain has neuroplasticity, and it can be rebuild itself. So evidence is showing that you start decreasing the gray matter in your amygdala, which is where your stress center is, by practicing mindfulness.
We're speaking with Maureen Wendling, and she is the executive director of the Ashanti Project. And what this is a program that really helps you cool down, if you will, using techniques of mindfulness to make your life more livable and happier. We will be back, and we're going to give mindfulness a shot. We'll be right back. You're listening to WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
This is WDIY Operations Director Neil Heaver asking you to become a new member, renew your membership, or add in an extra gift as we conduct our year-end fund drive. It's an important time for us to make sure that we get into January 2021 in good financial shape. It can be a gift any size that's comfortable for you. Our new memberships begin at $60. An average membership is $88.10. You can also spread it out over the course of the year with an evergreen membership for $5, $10, or $20 a month. However you wish to support us, we'd be grateful for it. You can call us at 610-758-8810 or go to WDIY.org to make your donation. And of course, as always, we thank you very much.
Good evening, and welcome back to On Every Main Street. We are with Maureen Wendling from the Ashanti Project, and as promised, Maureen is going to take us through a session of mindfulness. Maureen, when you sit down with a person or you walk into a room and you have a group of people who are ready to become mindful, why don't you start us off, and we're going to take a few minutes here and follow your direction, and I will sit back and practice with you. Take it away.
Thank you, Greg. So I'm going to invite everyone, if you're sitting in a chair, to kind of sit erect but yet relaxed. Place your feet on the ground. Place your hands gently on your lap or at your side. Beginning by taking a few breaths. Letting any tension in your shoulders, just noticing if there's any holding, just releasing and soothing. Noticing if there's any tension in your jaw, just releasing whatever might be there. And if you're comfortable with it, gently closing your eyes. Arriving into this moment. Allowing yourself to be supported by the chair beneath you. Perhaps noticing where your breath is most apparent in your body. It could be with the rising and falling of your chest, or the movement of the breath and air through your nostrils. There's no need to manipulate the breath in any way. Just allowing the breath to breathe itself. And if your mind is wandering off into thoughts or making lists or thinking about the future, just gently and kindly bringing it back to the sensation of breathing. Shifting our attention now to our feet and noticing the pressure and the sensation of our feet on the ground. Noticing the sensation of your heel placed on the ground. Noticing any sensations in your toes. There may be coolness or warmth or tingling. Just noticing any sensations that may be present in your toes. Shifting your attention now into your calves and up into your knees. And up into your thighs. Noticing the sensation of the thighs against the chair beneath you, supporting you and holding you. Shifting your attention now to the lower back and hips. A place where we tend to hold the tension of the day. Perhaps noticing any holding or pain in the lower back. And if you do, just taking this opportunity to breathe into this area and release what may be there. Shifting your attention now to your abdomen and noticing the contracting and expanding of the abdomen on each in-breath and each out-breath. Bringing your attention now to your hands releasing any tension in the hands, softening them, and bringing your attention to your fingers. Perhaps noticing the space between your fingers. Shifting your attention now into your arms and up into your shoulders. Another place we tend to hold the tension of the day. Just breathing in to any tension or holding that may be in your shoulders. And if your mind has wandered off, just gently bringing it back to the sensations in your shoulders. Shifting your attention now to the neck and the base of the head. Moving into the forehead. Bringing your attention to the muscles around your eyes. Perhaps noticing the sensation of your eyelashes placed on your cheeks. Bringing your attention to your lips. Noticing the sensation of one lip placed on top of the other. There may be dryness, or it may be moist. Shifting your attention to your jaw. Noticing any holding or tightness in the jaw. Breathing into the space and releasing and softening. Now, expanding your attention to the entirety of the body, your body as a whole, bringing your attention from your feet to your knees, to your hips, to your shoulders, to your head, expanding your awareness once more to the area around your body. Noticing any sensations that are around your body. Expanding your awareness once more to awareness and attention to the room around you. And as we conclude this practice, just beginning to move again, some gentle movements, and gently opening your eyes. And know that you've done something good for yourself by practicing mindfulness today.
And there you go. Maureen, thank you for the mindfulness session. Now, this is almost a type of intervention that you can do with yourself anytime during the day, can't you?
Anytime. And, something just as simple as noticing your feet on the floor. You know, you go into a meeting and you're experiencing anxiety. Just by bringing your attention to the sensations of your feet on the floor, it helps calm the mind and focus the mind.
If you have a student who is in need of this type of training, what should a person do, somebody listening to our show?
Sure. They can either contact their school and they can contact me, or please feel free to contact me at Shanti Project. We'd be happy to see what we can do. We have practitioners who can work with them one-on-one, but we usually tend to go into the schools and work with the children as a group. Mindfulness is really experiential learning. You learn from each other. That's the way I've been taught, but it's certainly something that can be practiced one-on-one.
So how about people who are older who want to practice mindfulness?
We at Shanti Project are now, you know, when COVID hit, we just saw a greater need to be working with adults. So we began focusing on classroom teachers and social workers, everyone who was on the front line during COVID. So we do work with any organization or even a company that would be interested in implementing this for their staff. It's a great gift to give someone. We can do morning drop-in sessions where we come on at before the day starts for 15 minutes. Or at lunchtime in 15 minutes and just do a similar practice to what I just did. It's been proven, there's evidence-based research that shows it helps with this habitual thinking, it helps with creativity and concentration.
At a time during social media when our minds can be dragged away from different things and our mind tends to get that into that secular thinking.
Yes.
I've been practicing mindfulness for 15 years now, and I can tell you that if you have a problem with thinking about certain things too much, this is a great program. Believe it or not, it's not that difficult, and it really works.
Right, and again, what we teach is not religious, it's secular, and it's really brain-based, and it is brain-based, and another interesting area, Greg, is mentioning again these classroom teachers and social workers who are on the front line. They are every day offering others compassion and giving of themselves. And we're noticing a lot of high rates of what they call compassion fatigue, high rates of compassion fatigue or secondary trauma. And that has been a really rich area for us to be able to be a resource. How you take care of yourself before you can help others.
COVID's a terrific time to explore mindfulness. We have just a short time left, Maureen. Once again, tell us about your website quickly.
Sure. Shanti Project, it's a tricky spelling. It's S-H-A-N-T-H-I, shantiproject.org. And you can contact me via our website, or my email address is just maureen@shantiproject.org. We have wonderful supporters through Northampton County Mental Health, help support our programs, Two Rivers Health and Wellness. The United Way is a wonderful partner. Just Born Candy, Air Products, and St. Luke's all make it possible for us to do our work, but we're always looking for ways, happy for others to get involved. We're always happy for donations and just interest. And I'm happy to answer any questions people have about mindfulness.
How do we make a donation?
You can go right to our page. You'll go to our homepage and you'll see the donate button.
Help the Shanti Project. Help young people calm their minds. Go to their webpage. And it's a fun page to look at. And if you're interested, give them a call. Maureen, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
You have been listening to On Every Main Street. I'm your host, Greg Caponia. Have a good evening.
Up next on WDIY 88.1 FM, news headlines from NPR, followed by our Monday night folk program, Folk Classics.